Hey guys, Adam Ray, welcome back to About Last Night. Thanks for listening. Subscribe on YouTube and iTunes. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your lovers and your exes and your enemies. Brand new episode today with Jamie Presley from Joe Dirt. Mom, welcome to Flatch. My name is Earl, which you won an Emmy for. I play her douchey ex-husband on Welcome to Flatch right now, and that's how we met, and she's the shit. She came to L.A. and knocked this one out, and it's a great ep. I mean, her start in L.A., it's pretty bonkers. 90s Hollywood, she breaks it down. Getting her role on My Name is Earl, that whole experience. Raising three boys, growing up in North Carolina, her funny, goofy-ass family, and her role as Barb Flatch on Welcome to Flatch. We cover it all, as well as going through Joe Dirt, Not Another Teen Movie, Can't Hardly Wait, all the good shit. Follow her on Instagram at Jamie Presley. Follow me at Adam Ray Comedy, at ALN Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. And tour dates galore. 2023 is filling up. Go to AdamRayComedy.com for all those tour dates. Got some left over in 2022. Portland, Vegas, Seattle. And then a run of shows with Sal Vulcano in NorCal, in Sacramento, San Jose, and Santa Rosa. All at AdamRayComedy.com or SalVulcano.com. I think those dates are December 16th, 17th, and 18th. Of course, Young Rock is on Fridays on NBC at 8:30, 7:30 Central. Check that out. Welcome to Chippendales premieres tomorrow on Hulu. Check it out. I play the house MC. I'm on roller skates, so get out the lube and enjoy yourself. It's a great show. From the creator of Pam and Tommy, Rob Siegel, and a stellar cast with Murray Bartlett, Camille Nanjiani, Juliette Lewis, and my goofy ass on skates. Check it out, Hulu, tomorrow, November 22nd. Make sure you are subscribed on YouTube and iTunes and Spotify so you can get clips and eps every week. Jason Biggs is on next week, and a whole other roster of bangers coming up before we close out the holidays with the best of ALN 2022. Hope you guys are doing well. Have a great week. Enjoy your Thanksgiving and enjoy this special episode with Jamie Presley.
Hey, it's Herbert. Mm-hmm. And you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch.
Welcome back to the show. With a living legend here.
That is the biggest crack of shit I've
Hug
ever
that
heard.
Mic. Hug that Sorry. Mic when you curse.
Sorry. Okay, that is the biggest crack of shit I've ever heard.
I mean, yeah, and it's really not, but when I told quite a few of my buds that you're going to be on the show, a lot of them were like, holy shit, how the fuck do you know her? And then a lot were
We had played ex-husband and wife.
Yeah, exactly. That was a blast, by the way.
That was fun.
What was cool about that is, I know you know your body of work is extensive and awesome. And
thank you.
And I'm sure, I think you even said, I don't know, drinks were flowing that night post shoot. But you were, you always struck me as someone that's like, I feel like if you work as much as you have, you can't be a piece of shit, right? I mean, I don't know. We all probably know people that continue to get jobs, and you're like, but there's still stories that like percolate, but
right.
Like. But you have done so much dope stuff, and then I get to kick it with you. I'm like, oh yeah, duh. Like, you got both things going on as far as being like a fun hang, and then like you're a total pro.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when I'm on set, it's one of my favorite places to be.
Really?
Yeah, it is. I love crew. I love my crew, and I love acting.
Yeah, I saw you like mixing it up with everybody, and I'm like, yeah, oh, that's...
But I also love... you know, what was fun, like I started to get bored, honestly, not from this show, but yeah. I started to get bored previously. And so when I was in North Carolina at my house in Atlanta Beach with the boys over the summer, the week before we were leaving to go back or come back here to LA, I got a call from my team in LA saying that I had been offered the job on for the second season for a new lead on Welcome to Flatch. And I'd never heard of it or seen it.
Yeah.
And so they said, watch it. And I said, great. And they said, it films in Wilmington, North Carolina. And I was like, wait, hold on. Say what?
Yeah,
I was
yeah.
so excited. I was like.
Hey, so you never shot anything that close to home?
Well, I've never. I shot briefly in Georgia like a year ago for something, for a film. But I've never, ever been able to shoot. 30 years, I've never shot in North Carolina. And so I was really excited about being able to do that. And it's not something that I would have ever considered, except that now my kids are older.
Yeah.
My oldest son is 15. He loved it. We watched the show together. And
he was all about it.
I walked in and I'm like, turn on Hulu, turn on this show. We watched the first season. He was like, this is like the Office.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah. And he goes, well, Office is one of his favorite shows on the planet.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's everybody.
Yes.
So he was like, you have to do it. I go, but it shoots here in North Carolina. He's like, okay. And I'm like, but you understand that means I'm going to have to go. I'll fly back and forth. He goes, that's fine. 15-year-olds don't want to hang out with her mom.
I was just going to say, why is he so supportive?
Like, go.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
No, but he also knew that, you know.
A cool opportunity.
Cool opportunity. And mom's got to work. I'm the sole provider for all three of my boys. So,
holy shit.
You know what I mean? So I have to work. And
shout out to you. My mom did the single mom thing, too.
You're a beast. So, you know, the twins' dad is a great dad, but I'm still the sole provider.
Yep.
You know, and I've always been the sole provider for Desi. And was a single mom to him, you know, his whole life. So it's not something that I, you know, so I had to turn down a lot of work, actually, and opportunities
to make this one
along
go.
The way
yeah.
while Desi was little, because I never wanted to take him, once he started school, I never wanted to take him away from his sense of normalcy
yeah.
or his friends or his, you know, because the thing that's not fair is when you take kids out of school to go do a project and they come with you and they spend their time in a school with kids they don't know and a nanny because you're on set all the time.
Yeah.
That's not fair, right? And
especially if your nanny's not fun, right? If you're sitting around being like, hey, you want to do a Sudoku? And she's like, hey, man, I'm playing slots.
Right.
I'll see you in 2 days.
Yeah. You know, I mean, fuck. So, you know, I don't have... there's a mom guilt that I would never be able to get rid of.
Totally.
And I couldn't do that to him. And he didn't have, it's not like he had a sibling.
Yeah.
You know, that was in the house. It's just him.
Oh, fuck.
Right. So I couldn't do that. And I was very fortunate that I got to do, you know, I was still on Earl when I had him. And then after that, I did a series called Jennifer Falls.
Yep.
It was just one season. And after that, I was fortunate enough to get Mom. And I did that for, I came on to the second season of that one also.
Yeah, that went eight?
It was eight seasons, so seven for me. So I was very fortunate to be able to do that. And it was multicam, which, you know, in this business is like the 9-to-5-er. It's the
ultimate job.
It's the ultimate job if you get on a good one, right? And it was a Chuck Lorre show. He's the only one right now that seems to know how to do multi. One of the only. I think there might be two people that can do it. But
I feel like if you're on any Chuck Lorre show for longer than four seasons and you're a lead like you were, then you can afford multiple hot tubs. Safe to say?
Yes. yes. But also,
So that gig, the timing of that was perfect.
It was so perfect.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, then I, you know, I didn't work for like, God, I don't know, 17, 18 months. And it was.
Did you get antsy?
God, who doesn't?
Yeah.
We don't know how to sit still like that.
Well, that's what's so crazy about, especially like, again, like you, I feel like you've just always worked. So it's like, I'm always baffled by people when you're like, yeah, you don't know when the next thing's coming. I'm like, why would the next thing not be coming for you? But I guess it's like there's a lot of people, there's a lot of jobs, there's all sorts of factors that play into like why something's gonna happen. Like you said, the things you turned down to
a lot
do
of
other things
have been they're not shooting here now,
right?
And so I couldn't really take any of those opportunities.
Wow.
And honestly, I prefer television over film. I started out in film and I, you know, I did lots of them, but
yeah.
I really love the fast pace of television.
Cool.
I like being able to tell a story every 5 to 8 days.
Yeah, right.
And complete it and be able to move on. And if you do it right, it's like shooting a film. Like Earl, My Name Is Earl, was like shooting a film every 5 days. The quality of it.
Oh my God.
It was single camera, right? But we lived on set, you know, like you do when you're in a film.
Was that
I got to live here in LA, so I got to be with my kid.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean?
Were those hours pretty, because it was
brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal.
I was gonna say going from that to Mom must have been a dream, but also like
it was a
you're
dream.
Leaving, but also like an iconic show, cast, like I'm assuming you guys, that was
it was heartbreaking.
Family.
We were all heartbroken because it was one of those things where, you know, we were for sure going to go a fifth season. We had every season gotten, you know, extra orders. Instead of 22 episodes, we'd do 25 or 28
Holy
or whatever,
shit.
Right?
It just doesn't happen anymore.
No, it doesn't. And so it was kind of like, you know, when we thought we were coming back, and this, you know, we had that in 08, that strike, that we were all out for like 5 months. We had to shut down, whatever it was. Then we came back. And then right when we think we're, you know, coming back, I was literally walking on a plane because we had just gone on hiatus. I was walking on a plane and Greg Garcia, the creator, calls me. I was just going on a vacation and calls me and says, hey, they just called me. It was the upfronts in New York happening. He goes, they just called me. We're not coming back. I'm like, huh? There was no way that was going to happen. There
They're
was
like, but Veronica's Closet's getting its own movie. You're like, the fuck?
What?
What is happening?
What are you talking about? It was crazy.
Damn. I mean, again, like going back to just like not knowing when the next gig is coming, but also being, there's that, the feeling of like, fuck,
it's
this
the
sucks.
Heartbreak.
Because the family.
It's a family that literally it was the greatest time of my life.
It was. I'm glad you said that, because watching it was the greatest time in my life.
It was the greatest time of my life. It was literally like my favorite people on earth that I got to work with and go to work with every day. Jason Lee, Ethan Suplee,
yeah,
Eddie Steeples. But just Greg Garcia, the creator in general, was one
set
of the...
Set the tone.
He set the tone, and he's, you know, he's from the East Coast. He's hilarious. There was never... He doesn't get angry. He doesn't yell. There's nothing that can't be fixed. Mm. Every script was so damn funny, you didn't want to change anything.
Wow.
You didn't, there was never, like, you would we laughed our asses off the second that we'd get them, and we'd do, like, table reads at lunch.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was, good Lord. And, you know, I don't know that we could ever make that show today because we got away with murder.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The thing is, though, it had so much heart.
Yep. Also, you guys were, the characters were so grounded and believable, and then the circumstances were, yeah, I don't know. It was just, it was flawless in my opinion. I couldn't believe like every week I'd watch and just be like, man, new storylines, like different jokes, like characters are growing. Like,
And all the people that we would have on, even our background artists were incredible in the Crab Shack. Like we had some of the most incredible people that were a part of it. And it, you know, you could watch it and go, oh my God, I can't believe they just put that on television. What are they saying? And it was basically kind of throwing in, you know, your face what society does, like the norms they put out there.
Yeah.
There was one called Circus Freaks, I believe, or it was something like that. And it was about, you know, how they, you know, this group of people who work in a circus, you know, the bearded lady and the guy with the horn on his nose.
That's
and
how
the,
I got my start,
all that stuff. they all live in this one little community.
Yeah.
And so he had on his list, Earl had one of the things he was going to write had to do with, I think it was the bearded lady.
Mm.
And when they found out where she lived, it was this, you know, they did this thing where they, you know, they realized they were trying to take them out into the real world. And, and then they realized they ran and they were like, no, this is, we don't want to, we like doing this.
Yeah.
You know, we like, but it was
comfy in our surroundings.
Right. But then at the end, they all end up out in the world and out and, you know, realizing that they should be thankful for their gifts. Mm. And their, you know, it's like a saying that I've always loved, which is, I don't want to be as good as you. I don't want to be better than you. I want to be different from you because that's what makes me stand out.
Whoa.
So it was kind of like that was the message
in
the end. Yeah. Right. There's always this great message in the end.
Amidst all the hilarity, like that, it's cool. I mean, those are the best shows.
There's so much heart. Well, what makes you want to watch a show every week and come back to see it is endearing people characters that you're that are endearing, that have heart, and you care about, makes you care about them, so you want to see what happens.
It's why people watch this show. I cry every other episode when I talk about seeing Forrest Gump on TBS for the third time, and I
cried Forrest Gump every time.
Do you really?
Yeah, who doesn't?
Well, soulless people. When Haley Joel Osment walks in, and Tom Hanks is like, "Who's that?" and she's like, his name's Forrest, and his mind being, but that's my name. Fuck, I think that's when he won the Oscar. Then when he asked, but is he smart or is he?
Yeah.
I was like, fuck, dude, please say he's the smartest kid in the world. And she was like, yeah, he's the like, top of his class. He makes everybody laugh. He does that thing where you put your finger through your zipper to pretend it's a wiener. Everybody laughs. Like, I'm paraphrasing. She didn't say that. But she said, this kid is like a star. And Forrest was like, I can't believe it. Tears.
Rips your heart out. Agreed.
Are you a big crier in movies in general?
Oh, I'm
Are you like Dumb and Dumber bank commercials?
Like, yeah. Like, do you remember the, how old are you?
40.
Okay, so do you remember the commercial? I think they played it long
By the way, didn't even bat an eye. She was like, thought you were older, but yeah.
No, I didn't. No, I'm 45. I'm older, I just thought that
regimen?
You would.
Fuck.
Thank you. But there was a Ronald McDonald commercial that would always come on at Christmas when I was a kid, and it was him. There were kids out on this, you know, ice skating out on this frozen lake.
Yep.
And one of them gets left behind because he can't skate. And so Ronald McDonald goes over and gets him and starts skating with him and pulls him into the group. I cried every time as a kid.
Fuck.
I got to see it years and years later. People were playing like some of the like old classic during the holidays.
Yeah, yeah.
The old classic commercials. I saw it, cried again. I'm sentimental. I'm not somebody who cries.
Is it clowns doing good deeds that really tugs at your heartstrings?
It's like, no.
Is it the fact that he gave him a double-double? Yeah.
For me, it's kids.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing that gets me.
Yeah. The kid left behind. By the way, everyone, whether you were or, like, every kid has experienced, I think, being left out at some point, right?
Oh, God, yeah.
I just think that's a part of being a kid, is like, no kid right out of the gate was... You know, Danny Zuko and
And kids are mean.
So mean. And, you get teased?
Oh, I was bullied so bad. Oh my God. Well,
fucking what flaws did you have?
Oh God. I think the flaws are in the ones that bully, but I have so many. But I think flaws are beautiful.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
I would hate to be perfect. God, living up to something like that.
Fuck
what a standard. That's not only is it boring.
No thanks. Imagine being Mario Lopez every day and having to live behind those beautiful dimples.
Well, but the way you look doesn't necessarily mean everything else is perfect.
What did you...
That one.
What did you... Hilarious. We'll do a separate pod. wait, so I got teased. I was a big kid. So all the fat jokes you could muster. That's why immediately with my fat kid brain, when you went to Ronald skated over because the kid couldn't fall. Like immediately I was just like, it was probably me. It was a fat kid. And Ronald was skating up to be like, it's okay. And then he knew the kid was going to be comforted by food. So Ronald pulls him over and goes, you don't have to skate today, but you could supersize your Happy Meal. And then my fat kid brain, I was like, he probably gave him a cheeseburger. And that's what got him to stop crying. But...
No, but I think.
But it made me who I am. Like comedy is now like I truly started to fire back and then make jokes, be self-deprecating, fire back, and then it was like.
And look what I do.
Yeah.
Comedy.
Yeah.
So you know, I was like underdog. I dressed, you know, I was a prissy tomboy. So, you know, when I
great character name.
When I was really little, my mom would braid my hair or curl my hair and put the bows in it and the dress on. I would sneak shorts on underneath so that I could play, you know, climb trees. And play war with the boys.
Whoa.
And all that kind of stuff, right? So I was this like walking contradiction of myself, which I still am.
It's a great movie. So you were going out as one thing, and then it was almost like you'd strip away the dress.
But then I would also, you know, dress as a boy.
Yeah.
I would dress like a dude. I have an older brother who's 10 years older than me. So, and I looked up to him, and so I loved dressing like a dude.
Yeah.
And then I stopped, and then I was dressing like a girl, and then I didn't really care what the norms were, but you know, when you live in the South, it's kind of like there's this formula to everything. It's kind of like the formula of you go to school, go to high school, then you go to college, you meet the person you're going to marry in college, then you get out, you marry them, and the first 2 years you have a child, and then you know what I mean? It's like
that's real.
That's real.
Fuck.
And you know, I don't know that it's so much as like so. I don't know that they put so much pressure on that now, but the pressure's still real. It's still there.
1,000%.
Do you know what I mean?
Is that strictly a Southern thing? Like,
I don't know because I was only
you meet the right
raised...
man, you have some babies, you have some more babies. Those babies have babies. Next thing you know, all your babies are hanging out.
Right. But you know what the thing is that I do believe that there is, you know, that culture is still very live and well.
Yeah.
But there's the new generation that's also more independent
yes.
and thinks for themselves and isn't necessarily, you know, I mean, if you look back in the day, you couldn't even be gay.
Fuck.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like you couldn't, yeah. you had to get married. Like if you were a gay man, you had to get married to a woman and have children knowing you didn't want to sleep with her. It's like, who wants that shit?
Fuck.
Terrible.
Isn't that crazy?
yeah.
Like I guess we're just, when we get to a place where we're, you know, just very progressive and like it's a part of the norm, it's so unfathomable to even think of a time when, I remember my freshman year of college out here, a buddy in our acting class who was, we all knew, yeah, great. Mm-hmm. No, nobody, but, and then he pulled us all aside when he was getting ready to come out and to tell us, a handful of us in class, and it was so not a big deal, but it was a big deal to him because he was just like, really, we were the first ones he was telling, he hadn't even told his family, and it was so baffling to me that it was even a deal. Do you know what I'm saying? Like that he had to, but, you know, very respectful of like knowing that where he came up from and why. But then I'm just like, but why wouldn't they? Why did you not feel comfy that they were not going to be supportive? I just couldn't wrap my head
and
around.
And then 90% of the time, or it's not 95% of the time, it's because the father
yeah.
from the older generation
oh, yeah.
was not okay with that.
My
son's not going to be, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
he's going to throw a football. He's not going to go
right.
to Clay Aiken concerts.
And I can definitely say that has eased quite a bit.
1,000%.
You know, 1,000%. But there is still that stigma in certain areas.
You have such a firm grasp. Can you hug the mic a little bit more?
Am I?
Yeah. No, they're perfect. Yeah. But still so good, right? Yeah. you got great pipes. You've done a lot of voiceover too, right?
Not a ton.
Was it Horton Hears a Who?
Yeah, but you yeah. know what's fucked up is I did I did like six scenes and this happened to a lot of people because there were so many people in that and the film was like 3 hours long originally and so they had to it's a kids movie.
Yeah, how many Who's could Horton hear?
Well,
in one
and
film?
Also, how, kids aren't going to sit for fucking 3 hours.
No.
No one
especially
is.
Especially not now.
No, it's not Forrest Gump, right?
Well, nothing is.
Nothing is. So I ended up being in like two things.
Still fun. Do you like it?
I love it.
You have you got great pipes for.
No, I do
concerts.
Love it. And yeah. I did a couple of things, like when Desi, my oldest, was younger, because they were shows that he watched.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I haven't done as much as I would like to.
You did something for me when we were all hanging out, a post shooting Welcome to Flatch. Season 2, airing now on Fox. Go watch it. She's crushing it.
Or next day on Hulu.
Or next day on Hulu. Mm-hmm. Got to plug that. That's mm-hmm. big. You were telling me about like your Southern roots and just the different, and we're talking about the different parts of the South, like I want to say like Tennessee and then Dallas, Georgia, and you did a thing, I don't know if you can mind throwing it my way again, about the different accents and there's different types of, you said there's a different
because we
way
were
of,
we were what we were talking about is I think you had said, where was Earl supposed to be based?
Yeah.
Was it in Georgia
yeah, yeah,
or something?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I said, actually, it was originally in the original script. It was supposed to be based in a trailer park in Florida. And then Greg Garcia decided that he wanted it to be anywhere, any trailer park in America, is what he said.
Yeah.
And so that there wasn't a specific dialect, I just had Joy, my character, use kind of three or four different dialects based on her mood. So when she wanted something, she was like, Earl. And everything she talked like this, or, you know, honey or crab man or Randy. She
yeah,
was talking
so
like
sweet.
She was from Georgia, right? Because it's like, or even North Carolina, some parts there is because they draw it out like this. And then you talk about like Arkansas and stuff where you talk out the side of your mouth or something like you talk like this outside of your mouth and you talk like almost like Holly Hunter.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It's kind of like this. And then there's the, you know, like Tennessee is a little bit higher. And like Tennessee and we talk like this in Nashville.
Yeah.
And Texas, they just talk real fast. Everything's real fast, a little bit lower. But when you put them all together, that's who Joy was. Earl, you know,
holy
the whole
shit.
Thing with Darnell. It just was that way. You didn't know where the hell she was from. She was just from somewhere in the fucking South.
So that was all your call.
Yeah. To
cool.
do those different things.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it made her more fun and gave her some layers.
How much are you trying to do that when you get a character like that? That you get to, I mean, I guess it depends maybe on like the creator and where the, you know, what sort of, I feel like if they're hiring you, they're like, we want you to bring everything you got to the table, right? Mm-hmm. But like, will you not take a job if they're like, hey, just this is what we want, do that? Are you, do you need to kind of be, because you got such strong comedy chops and I feel like you got
well,
good
like
instincts.
For Flatch, you need to, yeah. For Welcome to Flatch, when I had that first meeting with the creator, Jenny Bix, and
Paul Feig,
who wrote two episodes, directed two episodes, yep. and he's one of the exec producers, yep. right? So when I had that first meeting, she was pitching me the character, telling me who she was and what she was like. And I was like, okay, hold on. Can I ask you a question? This is what's in my head. She wears a lot of makeup. You're saying she's done up, like in her wardrobe at all times. She's dressed to the nines. And I would like to wear wigs, but not the same wig. I want different wigs with different styles, different lengths.
Yeah.
And those are kind of like her hiding places. Because the thing is that if she's so done up all the time, I said, I have to have layers to a character. I'll get bored if she's just one noted, yeah. right? And the character has to have heart for me to care about her, for the audience to care about her. And I need her to be, you know, obviously you're telling me now that she, you know, is getting divorced. She gets served with the divorce papers very early on in the series. So she's hurting.
I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, you're a dick for that. that episode with you is coming up.
We got some great scenes.
Can't wait
more.
For the push-up.
so many push-ups.
So many.
Man.
That was a lot.
Getting tired.
I was like, listen, I didn't sign up for this shit. I didn't know I was working out when I got here.
By the way, your face, though, I was like, I hope this is acting, because when I look over one point in the face you were giving
scene.
Me as I was like doing my push-ups, I'm like, I was like, is she judging Adam Ray's push-ups? Or?
No.
Yeah.
No. I was definitely judging Bert's.
Okay, good.
I saw that scene because
How's
I had
look?
To do some ADR.
Yeah, yeah.
It is ridiculously funny.
Oh, fuck yeah.
It's ridiculous. Shrub next to you doing push-ups.
And the back and forth.
The back and forth.
It's a really, like, you and I, the dynamic is a really funny, it's just, I don't know, the push and pull, you still kind of being in and out of it, and like, putting up a full stop, but also kind of not closing the book completely.
Right.
And then I love playing likable douchebags that like are a little aloof, almost mm-hmm. like Steve Carell from The Office, where
yes.
he's just looking at life through a different set of goggles.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got insecurities. And it's like,
right.
he's just not showing them, but like, you know, they're there. And
yeah.
I think that's what makes me, at least when I see that in guys where I'm like, fuck that guy, I can quickly kind of isolate, like, I can see what he's overcompensating for, and I feel bad for him.
Right.
And that makes me like him.
You have to, so in order for me to play a character, I have to care about them.
Yeah.
Genuinely. Like, I can't play a bully. I can't commit to it.
Yeah.
I was sent a script the other day, and I tried desperately. They were like, you know, what do you think? I tried for days. I called my manager, and I was like, listen, I'm sorry. I was bullied growing up in school. I was bullied when I got into the business for years, because before the Me Too movement, blonde hair, blue eyes, tits and ass, right? I was a dancer. I started out as a dancer, not professionally here, but like my mom was a dance teacher. I was a dancer for 25 years type thing.
Whoa.
So I was not looked at, you know, and I'm Southern, so I must be stupid, because the Southern dialect, everybody just thinks you're
just
dumb.
What the fuck?
But that's like, that's Hollywood in the, especially
yeah.
30 years ago.
Yeah, of course.
You know, 25, 30 years ago, you'd walk into an audition and everybody in my audition would have blonde hair, blue eyes, you know, and tits and ass, right? And we were meant to be, you know, arm candy. You weren't supposed to have any kind of depth whatsoever. The character was just the same. You know, you didn't walk in, like now if we were to be allowed to walk into a fucking audition,
yeah, I
now you put yourself on tape.
I
That's
know.
Bullshit.
I don't like that, do you?
No one does.
Love being in the room.
I like being in the room because yeah. I can win them over better and I can ask them, what do you want me to do differently? They can direct me.
Yeah.
I can make changes.
Yeah.
I can ask questions. It's just better, and it's way more difficult to do now, just because when you're a people person.
You are big time, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm a super, super big people person. I love being social, and I...
And when you know that about yourself, and you know that, like, you're definitely just better, it's like, for me, even, too, if I'm, like, let's say, you know, a discrepancy with a buddy or whoever, a family member, I'm like, I don't want to text this. We need to talk on the phone.
Yeah,
or I'll wait till I go home to Seattle and do it live. If like my sister and I need to hash something, I'm like, I don't want to do it. We need to be.
Because you need to see the people in their, you need to look at the people in their face, in their eyes. You need, you can see their body language and how they're moving. And if you need to make adjustments, right?
Yeah.
You can feel people out. You can feel people's energy.
Yeah.
And it's like, we're not, we don't even get to Zoom them and look at them.
No.
It's just, it's shit.
Yeah.
It's not the same thing.
Like when my white rapper brother-in-law, Dirte, who is my sister's husband, wants to pitch me a movie about something in like space. And I'm like, this is, you know, and he's like, so it's like, you know, it's you, Denzel, and let's say like Jamie Presley, right? And you guys are up there. And you all were in, like, back in the day, like, the same Ronald McDonald ice skating commercial, right? And now you're reuniting in space. I'm like, Dirte, I'll be home for Thanksgiving, and let me give you a hard no to your face.
Let me just tell you, when I get there, that's never going to happen. Yeah. No, fuck no. What were we just... We were but we were just... How do we...
blonde girls were just an arm piece.
Oh.
No depth.
Yeah, there was no depth. And then now, you know... the people that are up for the same role, you know, see, and back then it was if the script said the girl has blonde hair or the girl has, it's a brunette that the if I would be like, I like that character better. They'd be like, yeah, but she's got brown hair. You're blonde.
Oh my God.
Now there's wigs and yes. There's, they'll dye your hair.
Yes.
And there's like some kind of say and women are not put on the back burner and it's not about being arm candy. And just because you have a Southern dialect or because you look some kind of way doesn't mean you can't play.
Yeah.
It doesn't define who you are.
People have a little bit more, you're saying, in the business, maybe an imagination about, or at least just open their mind to like not
pigeonholing
you.
I don't know that producers
you.
Have any more of an imagination
yeah.
than they ever did. And
yeah.
that was the problem, is that the producers would have the final say.
Yeah.
And now I think directors and creators and writers have a hell of a lot more say. Producers are just looking at numbers and mm-hmm. block, you know, all these, you know, they're not, they don't have the imagination. They're numbers people. They're business, right? Very few. Like Paul Feig is an exec producer, but he's also a director
yeah.
and a writer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Former actor, right?
Former actor.
Yeah.
So he has all of the things where, yes, he absolutely should have some say because he knows all the arenas.
Yeah.
He's been in all of
yeah,
them.
Yeah,
he
yeah.
works in all of them.
Yeah.
But very few executive producers, you know, or high execs up in all these studios that produce everything have the ability that he does. Mm. It's very different.
Where did you get your comedy chops?
Like we were talking from the Presley side. My dad,
really?
All the Presley men. You go to one stands up, like a family reunion, you leave with a new set of abs.
Do you have big family reunions?
Oh my God, yes.
I'm so jealous.
And so one Presley boy, man, dad, would stand up and tell a joke. And the jokes are stories. Everybody's a storyteller.
Great.
Incredible storytellers.
Good stories?
Incredible stories. And you think, and they don't start out like, let me tell you this joke. It's this one time I was going into, and you know, whatever. And they start telling it's a story.
I like stories that start like that because I can tell that they're like they're starting to see the whole world and
they
they're about
paint
to paint the picture.
The picture yeah. so beautifully. And then it ends up being the funniest fucking joke you've ever heard
wow.
with this crazy punchline that you weren't expecting.
Wow.
They, you know, Uncle Tommy will do all the accents differently so you can differentiate between
awesome.
The characters when he's telling the story.
Awesome.
Uncle Joe used to, everybody's got a really loud laugh. Like I have a loud laugh when something's funny and
yeah.
genuine.
Yeah, yeah.
I laugh my ass
yeah,
off.
Yeah.
And the thing is that they would all stand up individually. And my favorite part is that, you know, when they're all having their bourbon, I'm like, they, when people in the family
yeah.
are having their bourbon,
are enjoying themselves
yes.
after a long day's work.
When everybody gets together, it could be the third drink, but the cheers every time, which Granddaddy Presley, who by the way, his name was Earl.
Amazing.
Yeah. When I got the script, I was like, oh, this one's mine.
Yeah.
I hadn't even read it yet. But so Granddaddy Presley started it and it was every time, let's say it's the third drink, it's first today. First drink today, y'all are on number 10. Y'all are on number 15 now. I mean,
like, what would they say for like 20 drinks down and another
21st a day? And we'd come in there like, these fools. All right.
But fun drunks.
Oh my God, yeah. Yes. So fun.
So what do you think, seeing like them kind of perform some of these stories would like go, oh, that looks fun, and like you just wanted to like,
yeah, I mean, everybody was just fun. And the thing is I started out in drama, and then I
went in high school or
I meant in the business. But so the thing is my mom, dance teacher, but she was the choreographer for the performing arts department back home. So she choreographed all the plays. And we had, you know, in North Carolina, we have the School of Performing Arts.
Oh, yeah.
And Salem, like everywhere, everybody, all the kids have extracurricular activities. She was also the choreographer for the Ovation dance troupe, which was at the high school. So, and they were the traveling, you know, dancing, singing, whatever. Yeah. And so I was in and around plays and, you know, all the time. And she would take me to go, you know, to New York to see, you know, Broadway plays.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff
blow
like
your mind.
Yeah. And it just seeing all that was incredible to me.
Yeah. That's why it's important, I think, for kids to, whether you're, it's going to be something you also want to jump into, but just to be exposed
just to have that, like, get that, be cultured.
Yeah.
In a way that, like, I hate when kids are like, a play. It's like, you don't even know.
Yeah.
Have you seen one? Yeah. No. Well, you should.
Yeah.
Because you'd probably love it.
Have you
ever seen Beetlejuice on Broadway?
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
You know?
I took my 5-year-old nieces, they're now 13, but when they're 5, to see Annie in, remember not 5, maybe when they were like 8, to Annie, the musical in Seattle when I was back home, and they had Black Annie, right?
Oh, right.
And at intermission, they were just like, can we go home? And I was like, yeah, is it, are you guys, like, yeah, we're just you know, just ready to go home. And I was like, oh, okay. And like, got them good seats. So I was like, fuck, okay. And first play, whatever. And then we get in the car and it was kind of quiet for a minute. And I go, hey guys, just to be on the same page, like it was like the show was just what, like not a little too boring. Like Black Annie, that was cool, right? Like, oh yeah, that was awesome. It was just a show. I was like, okay, cool.
Thank God.
Shows are, comedy, musical, subjective, but as long as we're all on board
By the way, Black Annie.
Yeah. Oh, ripped it.
Was insane.
Yeah, crazy.
Oh my God.
I loved it too.
That was a great one.
But that was, you know, their first kind of, and now they're all about it, and they actually have seen, and obviously like any sort of like a Frozen type thing, they're all into, but.
Of course.
But seeing anything live, I feel like just makes.
Yeah, I'll never get to see Frozen, so. Three boys, they don't want to watch Frozen.
No, what have they introduced
the
you to
The twins don't, will not sit down in general.
Oh man,
yeah,
twin boys.
Yeah, they're 5. They just turned 5.
Amazing.
They're not trying to sit down to watch a movie. They have yet to sit down and watch a movie in its entirety.
Whoa.
Nope.
But a kid opening boxes on YouTube.
And watch YouTube their iPad for days. And it's insane.
Yeah. What's their go-to? What's their rabbit hole?
Well, see, here's the thing. Lennon is infatuated with commercials.
We can't name Lennon.
Leo and Lennon.
Amazing.
Are the twins. Lennon is infatuated with commercials and memorizing them.
Oh my God. Like jingles are just full on like the script.
Oh my God. He literally this morning at breakfast, he was like, Nutrisystem, get rid of that stubborn belly fat. I turned around. I was like, what? And he wasn't even on his iPad. It's just that he's memorizing it. Hi, I'm Rob Lowe talking about
Adkins.
It is out of nowhere. He'll be like, he runs in my room. Hi, I'm Rob Lowe. Adkins has peanut butter, chocolate bars, and he starts doing all this, and I'm like,
how's his Rob Lowe impression?
Does it? Okay, he's so cute. My God.
You think Rob Lowe does that when he walks around his own house, walks into a room and goes, hi, I'm Rob Lowe.
Probably.
Peanut butter, chocolate bars. Don't have to be a bad
move. If I were him, I would.
Yeah.
You know how much money he's making off of Adkins?
Man, come on. Woo! Wait, that's adorable.
I mean, by the way, Lennon, keep doing this because maybe you could take care of mommy one day.
Come on. Oh, you ain't lying, by the way.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
Leo,
opposite.
He just laughs. Yeah. Well, the two of them don't play together. They're not.
That's
Leo,
typical.
Listen, they're fraternal, right? Leo has curly hair and brown eyes, and Lennon has straight hair and blue-green eyes. But they both have like a tan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And taking them to the park alone, good luck. One's going to play in traffic. I mean, it's like, it is like, are you fine? I won't do it. I have to go. I'll take the nanny with me or Desi with me to go because I.
Oh, you won't play in traffic?
No, I'll play in traffic.
Oh, yeah.
That I will do. I will do that before I take the kids.
It's 21st drink. It's traffic
21st
time.
21st time playing traffic, guys. Yeah. No, I would rather play in traffic than take the twins by myself to the park. Because
can't watch them both.
I honestly, Lennon wants to be up here climbing and doing all this. He's like Spider-Man. Yeah. And Leo wants to go over here and wander down into the ditch and into the forest. And I'm like, really? What?
Can you guys just pick the same tree for one day?
Like, it's over here and all the way over there. And I'm like, all right, let's do this. Let's go. I'm like strapping them down. I'm not.
You're not doing the kitty leash, are you?
Hell no.
Okay.
I did try it. I'm not going to lie. I think everybody tries it. That shit doesn't work. One falls forward because they're like top
amazing.
Heavy.
I tried it. I ain't going to lie. Fucking
I mean, everybody tries
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you have to.
With two of them?
Also, I feel like five. I mean, my nephew's eight and this kid headbutts fridges and dry humps couches to make me laugh. Always works. But he's a psycho.
Of course.
He's a little psycho. But, I mean, nonstop energy. And I'm like, I don't think a leash, I think he would bite it with his teeth. And choke you with it.
He would.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Boys, like, I'm always like,
I don't
like,
remember being that
you
barbaric.
Didn't give me, you, really? Like, what? I know I'm a tomboy.
Yeah.
But three boys, two of them are twins that don't want to play with each other.
Oh, man.
And run in opposite directions.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
And I was 40 when you gave them to me. They don't run on either side of the family. It was not IVF, didn't have hormone treatment. It was literally, I asked my doctor and I was like, how did this happen? How did this happen?
I love that you hit your doctor.
Good Lord. And he's like, well, so I was 39 when I got pregnant and had him when I was 40. He was like, at your age, and I'm like, here we go with this shit again. What did I tell you about saying at your age?
Yeah, not cool. Doc, let's go.
Listen, I feel younger now than I did when I was 30.
Oh, you're crushing it.
I mean, I'm sorry, but I feel better the older I get.
Wow.
Because you have less on your shoulders to worry about when it comes to how people think or feel about you.
That is, yeah, you can't put a price on the amount of outside pressure we all put on ourselves.
The
right?
outside pressure that we all put on ourselves.
Worrying about shit that you shouldn't be worrying about.
Right. But also, I can tell you that when I got in the business, when you got in the business, if social media would have been around, I don't know that I'd still be here.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I mean.
Wow.
Awful.
Really?
The pressure that is put on kids.
Yeah.
And how much they are infatuated with how many likes they get and how many, I can't even imagine. It was hard enough to have to be what everybody wanted you to be.
Yeah.
You know, and especially
knowing that you
when
were more than
all,
that, right?
Knowing you were more than that and it was all men running Hollywood, you know, and you were pigeonholed and you were told this is all you're going to be.
Wow.
And this is where you have to, this is the arena you have to go in to. You cannot ever go here. This is a man's world over here.
How many years was it like that until you feel... By the way, that's bonkers. And sorry you even had to go through that.
Well, everybody had to go through that.
Totally, but that's... I mean, the fact that...
Until the Me Too movement happened.
The fact that you were like, hey, I'm a trained... I feel like I got a lot to bring to the table. And you're like, you won't even like try to see or maybe even let me have an opportunity to show you this.
Right.
So that turned what?
No, you wouldn't even get the opportunity. And then if you did get the opportunity, you knew it was because... They were doing somebody a favor.
Oh, man.
Like the casting director or whatever was doing somebody a favor. And you could feel that the second you walked into the room. And that would knock your, you know, your confidence down in spades. It would just be like gone. And then you would fuck up. And then you would just be like, it's for them, it would be like, told you. It was nasty.
Hey, guys. Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. And I'm sitting down because I got some big news. Usually I'm standing up to do comedy. But I'm sitting down now because I got the deal of a lifetime. First of all, sitting is bad for you. We all know that. Whether we're sitting on planes or sitting on a beanbag chair watching porn in front of our kids, there's just too much damage you do on the body. Thankfully, Axion has come up with a chair that allows your pelvis to move the way it does while you walk. So all 33 vertebrae align into perfect posture. The result? Better breathing, better blood flow, and relief from the pain. It's crazy what you can do when you set your body to do it. Now, these guys are homies of mine. My buddy Dennis worked with the Clippers as their doctor for 27 years. He runs a wellness center called Peak Wellness. He's a fucking gangster and has saved me from surgery numerous times. I actually met Justin Bieber at his place. And I was in my boxers getting cupping done. And Bieber and I locked eyes. And I was like, this is how we were supposed to meet. And Bieber smiled and I never saw him again. This chair is a game changer. It's changed the way I live. It's changed the way I breathe, the way I sit. And you guys right now can get that chair for 25% off using the promo code ALN25 at all33.com. It's incredible. You got to get it. It's the only chair out there to get. We will be getting them for the studio. Go to all33.com and use promo code ALN25 for 25% off this chair.
Does it make you a little, angry towards the business in a way where you're like, fuck, because look at, like, you know, the last decade and then some of, like, the jobs and roles you've gotten to create and, like, even now on Flatch, like, going like, fuck, see what I could have been doing right out of the gate?
Yeah, or no, is it? You know what? Because I have to look back. I don't like regretting and I don't like looking back and being angry because it's such a waste of energy.
Totally.
I never move backward, always go forward, right? And something my trainer Mike Jones says to me all the time, and I think it came from a James Brown quote actually, is if you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready, right? So I always just studied at home, right? And I would, you know, watch as many things as I could. But I'll be honest with you, I'm not the one that, you know, I grew up watching all the black and whites and all that with my mom,
love
right?
That. Because Turner Classic.
Like all of that stuff, right? But, you know, I remember getting here and hearing, you know, I'd be at this like dinner or something and they'd be talking about Clockwork Orange. And I'm like, yep, so good. And then I'd go home and I'd be like, what the fuck is Clockwork Orange?
Yeah.
And, like looking it up. Because I didn't go to a fancy school. I learn by doing, but I've been that way my whole life.
Yeah.
I'm not good sitting in a classroom. My mind's like this, like all over. I'm so bored by what this person's saying.
Too.
I want to do it, right? So I've literally learned by doing. And what I was going to say is, though, instead of being angry about how the past went, what it made me do, it was kind of like fuel for my fire. It made me learn my business. It made me learn the business, which is, like, they asked me, I had to do 25, one of the weekly magazines the other day, I had to do an interview of 25 things you don't know about me or whatever that article is. And it's like a rapid fire thing where they ask you questions and you answer fast. And they said, the question was, what advice would you give to actresses who are up and coming? And I'd say, learn your business. Learn your business. Pay attention. Learn your rights. And always stay true to yourself. If you don't want to do something, don't do it. You know, don't go into a room, for instance, where the producer is in a, where the room is a hotel suite and the producer's in a robe.
Red flag.
Don't do it. Red flag. It breaks my heart that happened. But in general, if you learn your business and you know it, I think the problem is so many people get in this business, you know, they want it so quick.
Yeah.
But also, you know, you can be an incredible actor and then that's all you focus on. You don't pay attention to the other stuff. I've read every contract I've ever had because I was like, what's in this?
Wow, good for you.
What are we doing?
Fuck.
Right?
Always been that way? Nobody told you, you just were like...
No, and I've always been that way. I've had the same entertainment lawyer, Dave Feldman, since I was 17, 18 years old.
Awesome.
And...
I went to Temple with a Dave Feldman, by the way.
Sure, it wasn't mine?
It could have been.
I
venture to assume there's a handful of Feldmans.
Pretty sure there is.
Corey, Dave.
Yeah. But I... You know, and I came up with him. And so I always was like, what does this mean?
Yeah.
What does this mean?
Yeah.
What does this mean?
Wow. Asking all the questions, right?
Yeah. Because,
which, by the way, is true not on and off stage, right? I mean, you tell me.
It should
like,
be.
I feel like the people that make you feel comfortable to be like, you know, want to be collaborative and not
act like you know everything. And you know, my first multicam was According to Jim, and it was a guest star, and I had two. I was a water boy to try to make Courtney Thorne Smith. Belushi faked writing notes from me to her to make her feel, because it was like the marriage was, you know, she was like, I want her to feel good about herself. So, you know, can the hunky water boy? So I walked in with two Sparkletts bottles. First day of the taping, dropped them both, exploded.
Oh, shit.
Nervous as fuck. Water everywhere. Took like a half hour to clean up. Belushi's like, ah, it's fine. Everybody fucks up. He's like, just don't do it again. I was like, fuck. And, but then, you know, people were, you know, very encouraging to be like, yo, and fucking, if you ask me, whatever, do this. And so I felt, I still was a little apprehensive to like, you know, because you do want to act like you've been there somewhat. I don't want to feel like, even though it was my first job, I didn't want to announce that or make that obvious.
Right.
But I think it is imperative to like not act like you're the smartest person in the room, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I ask tons of questions.
Yeah.
I want to know what's going on. I want to know why this, why that, right? I want to understand.
Yeah, yeah.
but it's why when I walk on a set now, I know what everybody's job is. I respect it.
Yeah.
I absolutely know that we cannot make that production without every single person there.
Team effort.
And I pay attention to what the direction that's happening, and if the dialogue makes sense or not. I am a continuity freak. So if I see something that doesn't match, I'm like, hold on, I'm sorry. This was over here. We can't. They're like, no, it was. I'm like, please go back and look. They'll be like, yeah, it was.
Whoa.
Like, I'm a freak about continuity.
Yeah, you're not doing it because you're, it's all intention with those things too. It's like, you're
no,
not
I just,
trying
I
to be.
Genuinely care.
Yeah, you're
about
like, hey, man, we all want to look good, right?
Yeah. And I just want to say to your point you just made, it doesn't always happen like that where in the beginning of your career, they help. Everybody's like, hey, let me help. It's fine.
Totally.
Everybody messes up.
Yeah, yeah.
That was maybe with dudes, but not with women, right? But I wanted to tell you the way that I learned how to do multicam. I was 24 and I was brought on. So first of all, great story that back in the day, there used to be these holding deals that they would get for development deals, right? Where they would give you like a bunch of money and it would be for a year. And within that year, that network was supposed to work with you to develop a show for you, right? So I was called into NBC.
Whoa.
Kevin Riley was the vice president at the time. And I love that man.
Amazing.
I'm brought in and my old manager is sitting next to me. And he says, you know, we would like to offer you a development deal, a holding deal.
Holy shit.
And he's telling me all this stuff and I'm like, I'm sorry. You know, and I had no fear and I had no, you know, it was like 23 or 24 years old. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I appreciate it, but here's what I've seen from the friends of mine that have gotten these kind of deals. They sit for a year, they don't work, they make all this money, but then nothing comes out of it and they get, and nothing's actually developed. So I would like to propose an on-air deal. And I'm looking at 20 executives in the room. I have no fear. I don't know. I would never say that now, right? And I'm like, I would like to propose an on-air deal. I swear to God, I had a bruise for 2 years from my manager who was pinching me on the side. And I was like, stop. She's like, great. Now you just, she's thinking like, great. Now you just told everybody that I'm pinching you, right? And I'm like, stop.
Yeah.
I'm like, listen. He goes, I'm sorry, an on-air deal? I said, yes. I think that if I'm sitting around and I am not on television for a year, I'm going to be out of sight, out of mind. And people, not only the viewers, but also people in the industry are going to completely forget about me.
Whoa.
And then I won't get any work. And so I would like for you to maybe, until we find something just for me, I would love it if you could just find a show that might need an extra character and put me on that show.
Awesome.
And then put me on another show and put in another show until we find something that is right for me as a series.
Yeah, if you like me enough to give me this deal, why wouldn't you?
I said, I understand I'd like to make the money and it sounds great, but I don't want to sit around. I want to work. And every week that I'm out of sight and out of mind, I'm losing business and momentum.
Wow. 23, 24?
Yeah, I was so, I thought about everything all the time intensely, right?
And you look in the window and Rob Lowe's looking at you going, great job.
But they all looked
at
me
yeah.
And they were like, well, there's no such thing as an on-air deal. But and then I remember Kevin Riley looking at me and going, I have never heard anybody turn away this kind of a deal. This is a lot of money. I said, I'd rather work for it, if you don't mind. And he said, all right, we will find you something. Within 2 weeks, they called me back and they had a show that was going into its second season again, called Happy Family with John Larroquette and Christine Baranski.
Yeah.
I did that season, and it was, and Pamela Fryman was the
big sitcom director, right?
She's a huge, she's like, like if one of, if not the biggest female sitcom director.
Awesome, yeah.
Which at the time I had no idea. I was just like, what up, Pam? Like, I didn't know, you know.
That's cool, but don't you prefer that? I don't know.
Of course I do.
Yeah.
I love, and she was so cool. So Pam and Christine Baranski are the ones that took me in and taught me how to do multi and could not have been cooler. And Christine Baranski did not have to do that. She's an fantastic lady. I mean, I was so grateful. So it really does mean something when the people who were veterans.
You put up on a pedestal too, right?
Oh God, yeah. That you put on a pedestal that are veterans that are so good at what they do, come and like take the time to teach you. And I think that that's the thing that, you know, you have to always pay forward is you know, always go and if you can help somebody new, in it, do it.
Yeah, I was gonna say you're really. I observed that in just the you on set, but then when we were all hanging afterwards, how kind and encouraging you are to, Holmes and. Fuck them.
Taylor and Sam.
Yes. And
I adore them.
Amazing. And then even all the.
And they're so talented.
They're freakishly talented.
It's like that raw talent that very rarely happens.
It's cool too that they've gotten, I know they've all done stuff, but like this is a very cool thing I think for them to have is like a bigger.
Well, and it also send-off. Being able to go to work with them. I started off saying how I was getting really bored, right? And when I took this job, working with these with them, I call them the kids because I feel so old, but working with them just reinvigorated my love for it.
Whoa.
Right? You know what I mean? It really did, because they're so into it. And it's kind of like how it is when I with my boys. When you have kids, that was one of the other questions the other day in the 25 things. What is it that you love most about being a mom?
Yeah.
And it's seeing things again for the first time through new eyes, which is your kids seeing these things and getting excited and trying all these new things for the first time. It make the things we take for granted that we're used to that we're like, it makes things exciting again for you. And I felt like that when I was working with them because they're so talented too.
And seeing them get a fresh, like, I mean, they are.
They have a fresh look on everything.
Yeah.
I mean, this is Holmes' first acting gig, and she's
fucking
fantastic.
Great. Yeah, she's crushing it. Also seeing you, there was, I think it was a Bachelorette party that was there that night. Remember they came up to you?
Oh, they were all dressed in the Golden Girls. I love the Golden Girls. It was Girls theme.
Yes, and that was just awesome because, like, fuck, it's not like I was like, how are you with your fans? We're just hanging out. And then, like, you know, like you were saying, like, I mean, you know, I'm sure, you know, getting bugged pretty consistently and just being out and about like that, I was like, oh, I wonder how, like, there's plenty of people out here, but then there's this big party, and they come over, and they're all, as most people are, like, that's what's cool, too, about what you've done. It's like, there's kind of, you kind of have something for everybody, you know, whether it's Earl, or somebody's just a giant mom fan, you know, and now Flatch, but, I mean, I told my sister she's obsessed with Joe Dirt, and she was just like, she made a laundry list of questions.
I never knew that Joe Dirt was going to be such a cult classic.
Insane.
When we were making it, I had no idea. That was another question. What do people, when they pass you by, what are the lines or things that they quote most? And I said, I'm your sister from Joe Dirt.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I never knew that was
going
to be a thing. So much fun.
Yeah, the best.
I adore.
I've gotten to know Spade through stand up pretty well, and he's like really sweet.
Couldn't be drier.
Right?
Yeah.
But a master of it.
So good at it.
I mean, when he, like, even when I see him on Ellen, which is like, that's another thing too. Like, and you've got so many great, like, all your late night appearances too. Like, the comedy stuff, to me, when I look at people that maybe aren't stand ups that are on those things that crush those, I'm like, oh yeah. Like, that is a big deal to be able to like hang with guys like that, especially Ferguson. It's the only late night couch I've ever done. And to me, I'm like, I don't know how you do it not that way.
I love Ferguson.
Because like truly just no questions and preparation. But But they came over and they were fanning out, and you were just so, you made such a great moment for them. You were so kind. You like took pictures and
chatted. Oh, we took pictures and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, but you made it such a moment for them. And I was like, that's really.
You know what though? I've been very fortunate in that I've played characters that are salt of the earth, relatable characters.
Yeah.
So even though Jill from Mom was, you know, born rich, raised rich, never had a job in her life, divorced rich, never had a job in her life. That's not something people can relate to. But what they can relate to is all the beautiful flaws she has and the fact that she's a recovering addict.
Yeah.
And that she lost her mom when she was 16 and found her. She was the one that found her. There were so many things that you could relate to in her because there was nothing perfect whatsoever about any of those women, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I've been fortunate enough to play those kind of characters. And that means the people that come up to me, it means something to them, especially that show. And for me, I still have a job because they still watch what I do. And I want to keep working.
Yeah.
So I'm going to keep taking the pictures.
Was Allison and Anna, like, was that also a similar vibe to
Allison Janney is one of the, my favorite human beings on the planet.
I only have one Allison Janney story.
Okay.
But it was going to do a short scene in Spy, a Paul Feig movie, Melissa Statham.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Budapest for three lines. He was like, I put down a part on tape to play Bobby Cannavale's part. And he's like, Bobby Cannavale's going to do that. I go, probably the right call. Can't be mad about that. And then I was like, what about Melissa's part? And he was like, definitely not. I was like, okay. And he's like, well, you can come out and do this thing. I was flying in the background. Michael McDonald was giving Melissa all the gadgets. And
yeah.
I'm in the background for a couple lines. But he's like, come out to Budapest for, I think it was like a month. And stayed the Four Seasons, hang out. And we went to dinners and hung. But the first night I was there, I get in the afternoon. And they go down to the lobby. And it's me, Sam Richardson, Allison Janney, and Michael McDonald. And we all just drank our...
She's my favorite drinking buddy.
She was...
She's fun.
Unreal.
She's so fun.
I couldn't believe I was like,
and that laugh.
Amazing. You guys both have infectious laughs.
Oh my God, her laugh kills me. Yeah.
Was she, so, I mean, and also I think someone that, at least for me, I'm like, I just, and you embody this as well, where you're just like total pro, but also like keeps a loose vibe to where you're like,
you
not taking
to.
Your shit too seriously, right?
Yeah. When you say cut, I cut.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't like to take shit home with me.
Yeah.
And I need to be able to relax and hang with everybody and have a cool vibe with everybody because I want everybody to be comfortable, right? But also I want things to be professional and taken care of right. And so if I see something that's not right on set and I'm with people who don't necessarily have a voice to say something about it, I have no problem saying something about it and making sure that it's taken care of so that we can all have a great work environment.
Different vibe and different style than Earl, but like still, I mean, same amount of fun doing multi. I mean,
doing multicam.
Yeah, and just the hour, and just I guess that, with that crew.
I think
and,
that I my mom crew.
Yeah,
could not have. I was very fortunate to go from Earl was like working with all men.
Yeah,
and then I went to working with all women.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
at
yeah.
that part of my life, it was perfect that I got to go to work with all women.
Yeah,
it really was, and the vibe was incredible. And I absolutely adore every single one of the people on the crew. And the cool thing is, the way I met Allison was not even 2 months before Chuck Lorre called me to say, "Hey, do you want to? I want to write this character, and I want to see
my
if you want to do it."
God.
Right, 2 months prior. I'm at the night before event, you know, which is that event that everybody gets.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like twice a year,
yeah, yeah.
right? No press or
yep.
anything. Allison Janney walks up to me. Everybody's in a gown. This badass 6-foot woman walks up with a white button down, collared shirt, tucked into jeans, and some flats. And
awesome.
I'm like, well, you are 6 feet. Yeah. You can wear flats, right? And she comes out to me and I was smoking a cigarette on the balcony. She comes out and she's like, hey, can I get one of those? Presley, right? And I went, and you know, we'd all been drinking, and I was like, uh-huh. She goes, Allison, and I'm like, yeah, I know who you are. We're both very dry with each other. I was like, yeah, I know who you are.
Yeah, yeah.
I might have been a fan of West Wing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she goes, you know who Jefferson is? And I went, I only know one Jefferson, and he was one of my camera guys on Earl. He's one of my favorite people. Is that, she went, yeah, he's married to my cousin. I went, wait, what?
Whoa.
I go, you know, we had our kids, Desi, I had Desi, my oldest, was my only at the time. I had my kid and they had their son at the exact same time. The first play date ever was on set.
Whoa.
With the, I'm like, what? And she goes, yeah, he told me you were a pretty cool chick.
Yeah.
I was like, state oh my God. Approval. So a couple months later when Chuck calls me, I'm like, say what? Allison? Because I hadn't heard of the show Mom. It had been on for a season.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, you want me to join? Yes. I said, what's the character? Not that I cared. Yeah, he had just said Allison.
I'm doing it.
Right. And he said, she's bipolar. Oh, she's a recovering alcoholic drug addict bipolar. And I went, when do you want me to start? Yesterday or?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, bipolar ended up getting dropped, but.
Yeah.
The
great part,
such a great role.
I mean, fuck, like
it was just awesome.
That's so dope, and it does help to. It's cool to come in after a season, right, where the show kind of gets its legs a little bit, mm-hmm. and then I don't know. Do you feel though any sort of having a little bit of rapport with Allison? But like, do you again? You strike me as someone that's just like you're coming in hot, confident, like new show. It's like you're not trying. Trying to, you know, be...
Allison and I hit it off right away.
Do you try to, though, feel it out? Or are you like, I'm coming in as a new person? Or are you just like...
I just come in.
Yeah.
I've been doing it so long.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not trying to come in and be like, hello, everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Presley's here.
Yeah, it's
where's my mug?
Not that in the slightest. I like everybody to get along. I like to make everybody feel comfortable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I want... you know, to get to know everybody. And so
that's the move, by the way, I feel like.
I feel like you should just, especially if you're coming on to a second season.
Yeah.
You need to, you know, like I'm coming on. Say, I will say with Flatch, it was the first time I've ever gotten to work back home. So I felt so at home when I was there because it's the first time that everybody sounded like me on a set.
I was just going to say, I wish I could remember some of their names.
And I just
but like,
was so happy to be there. I was like, oh my God, I was so excited. Yeah. I was so excited to be working at home. I loved Holmes right off the bat and Sam, sweet Sam. And Taylor Ortega just cracks me the hell up. Everything. Like, she's so fast talking.
Totally.
Oh my God. You're like, oh, slow down. Yeah. Keep, whoa, what? Yeah. And they're just all so funny. Yeah. And then our crew, I adored every one of
them.
And they were so good at what they did.
Yeah. All right, before we wrap this up, mm-hmm. by the way, I wrote down one thing. Axe body spray commercial, wash your balls.
Oh my God, that was the funniest damn campaign.
Hilarious.
I loved it.
Was that my immediate thought was like, how quick of a yes was that? Because.
Oh, the one thing is, the only thing that we had to change, which took a little while, was they wanted it to be Jamie Presley cleaned your balls. I'm like, yeah, that's not going to happen. I was like, Feldman.
I am a mom.
That's not happening. I said, they're going to have to make it a character.
Yeah.
And it's going to be the character who's doing that.
Yeah.
And you're going to just use Axe. And
so
when
funny,
I walk
though.
Out, it's not, I'm not walking out as myself. I'm going to be walking out as a character,
yes,
guys.
It's a
like,
easy
think about
fix.
What you just said. Real easy fix.
Can you imagine if that stuck and that was like.
I would never live that down.
You wouldn't.
It would, to the day I die, everyone would bring up Jamie Presley washes your balls.
Oh,
cleans your balls, whatever.
A buddy of mine went to college freshman year at UW and University of Washington, Seattle, and a kid shit himself at a frat party day one of college and was nicknamed like Shit Pants Mark or something. Not a clever nickname, but, you know, told everybody what happened and who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And stuck with him so much that he transferred his junior year.
I would have too. Good Lord.
I mean...
You can't live that shit down.
No,
literally.
Whoops. Well, we'll be right back. We'll keep it right here. All right. Two more things here. Well, I want to say, so you talked about so many films before TV. I want to just kind of give a title of a film and first memory or a quick story or just some sort of that comes to mind when you think of that film. Okay. Joe Dirt.
First memory was being able to, well, first of all, I was cast because the director, Denny Gordon, she was actually one of the first female directors I ever worked with on the very first series I ever had called Jack and Jill for Warner Brothers. And she brought me on to do it. And then I got to hold, because we were, you know, working at a carnival, holding monkeys.
Whoa.
That was fun.
Whoa.
Yeah, that was fun.
Big animal girl?
I mean, not so much, but I mean, I love...
You have to do
who
it.
Doesn't want to hold a monkey?
Yeah.
And I love
great
dogs.
Great t-shirt.
And as a kid, I did have ducks and bunnies and things like that, but not exactly like, I mean, whatever.
Holding a monkey is I don't know. I just
there's from something different. It's because it's like they're so close to what to us.
Totally.
And looking at them, and her name was Nala, which is wave in Hawaiian.
Yep.
And I just her eyes looked like I mean a human. And
crazy.
It was crazy. Yeah.
Can't Hardly Wait. One of my personal favorite movies.
Can't Hardly Wait was definitely one of mine. It was my very first studio film.
No way.
Yeah, and I was 19, and I was in a honey wagon, and next to me in the honey wagon, and there was like the, you know, the accordion divider, we opened it up to make it bigger, right, was Tamela Jones, who became a friend of mine.
Cool.
You know, for years and years. But my favorite memory, aside from being on set with everybody, Donald Faison, I mean, we were all there, right, is us sitting in the trailer. And I used to carry around the big CD cases because I had like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of CDs.
Yes.
And I would bring my, you know, my CD player. And I opened it one day and I was like, hey, the divider. And I was like, hey, do you mind if I play music? She was like, what kind of music are you going to play? And I was like, I was going to play like this one. And it was Eric B. and Rakim. And she went, oh, hell yeah, you can. Go ahead and put that on, girl. I didn't know you played that. And I was like, yeah.
Shit.
And so we became friends over that.
Oh, shit.
And she took me to get my first In-N-Out burger. So we played music, all the old school stuff, every day. That was our thing. That was a good memory.
Classic movie.
Yes.
I mean, and still holds up.
And one of the best soundtracks ever.
Thank you for saying that.
One of the greatest.
Thank you for saying that.
So good.
Do you think your boys will that be when they get to high school? Will you let them?
100%.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's so good. And again, it's like one of those, almost like I put that in like Mean Girls in a category where it's like a great job of highlighting the, just the different sects of school, right?
Absolutely.
Like Seth Green and,
oh my God, when they're in the car riding up.
Who is he?
Bobby.
Fuck. She works a lot.
Seth
Green, who he ended up trying to hook up with, and then. And then something happened. Remember, he's got his whole backpack with all the condoms and mints, and it's not Allison Hannigan. It's
it's Lauren. Is it Lauren Ambrose? No, was the other one.
It's Raspy Voice. Isn't it? No, isn't it? She's got a Netflix show. She talks like this.
Oh my God, you know we have to look this up.
She's got she's an American Pie too, right?
Yeah.
Fuck. We'll figure it out.
I need to Google it.
All right, I'm Googling it real quick.
Okay.
Can't Hardly Wait. It's a Lauren Ambrose. Was that? No.
Lauren Ambrose. Yeah, she was in it.
Fuck. Wait, here we go. It's American Pie. Maybe it's the wrong person.
You're looking up American Pie?
Yeah, because she's in that too. Not Allison Hannigan. Who's
Tara Reid?
No. Fuck. Oh, here she's right here. Fuck. Here it is. Natasha Lyonne.
Oh my God, Natasha.
Right? That's who it is.
Natasha Lyonne.
Yes.
Totally forgot.
Yeah.
She's
anyway.
She's fantastic.
Classic. All right. Not another teen movie.
I was like the oldest out of 119 cast members at the age of 24.
Wow.
And love that I got to, I think doing the cheer.
Yeah.
Was one of my favorite. We did that at 3 a.m. Everybody was stoned all the time.
Yeah.
And I absolutely loved being able to work. You know, that's where I met, you know, Chris Evans and all the guys.
He's done some cool shit.
It was, he's done a couple things. It was like Captain America.
Whatever.
Avengers.
Fuck. But another it's, I don't know.
And it was when he started dating Jessica Biel, too.
Oh, whoa.
So it was just like a really great, 119 cast members and everybody got along. Unheard of.
We might have to do a part two, like just 90s.
Well, the best
stories.
Part is that we were literally all so well out of high school.
That's
I'm 24 playing a senior.
Yeah.
And that was part of the joke.
Yes.
Because, you know, everybody would hire kids, you know, people like young adults who are clearly out of, so that they, you know, to play high school students because they didn't have to worry about child labor laws.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
And we all had chicken cutlets to make. Everybody had to have big tits. A different size of chicken cutlets.
It was perfect.
It was great.
That was my nickname in middle school. Like I said, I was a fat kid. Finders Keepers.
I don't even know what that was.
Cool. Karate Dog.
Oh my God. I only did that because my boyfriend at the time, who had been on Jack and Jill with me, was Simon Rex, and he was doing it, and he was in Canada. And so he asked the director if I could do it, and I went up there. That way I could be with him while he was shooting.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's love. All right. And the last one is...
And because the director was, oh my God, Bob...
Natasha Lyonne.
Is it Bob Clark? Was it Bob Clark that was the voice on Christmas Story?
Oh, I know. Yes. Maybe.
Director. It was the director of Christmas Story, and he was also the voice...
Of the narrator?
Uh-huh.
Cool.
Anyway, go on. I might have just gotten the name wrong, but Bob is right.
All right, we're going to close this out with a Inside the Actor's Studio 10 questionnaire. I'm going to play James Lipton and give you the final 10 questions at the end of Lipton's interviews. I'm going to play Lipton to get to know Jamie Presley
right,
a little
this.
Bit more, and then we'll close this out. Thank you for being here.
Thanks I hope for
you
had having a good time. Me. Had
You're
a great
beast.
Time.
welcome back to the show. I'm James Lipton here with Jamie Presley. Jamie, what is your favorite word?
Believe.
What is your least favorite word?
Can't.
What turns you on?
Drive.
All these answers can be funny or not funny. And take your time.
This is one of those things where being funny, I'd be like, I need a, hold on, I need a minute.
Drive turns you on. The movie Drive with Ryan Gosling or?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Sure.
By the way, I just did a couple scenes in the Barbie movie opposite him and Margot. I get it. I looked into his eyes. We talked comedy for a minute.
Hey, yeah.
And my sister was like, how hot is he? I was like, I'll be honest. If both of them proposed the idea of sex to me, I'm not sure who I would have picked.
I would have done both. Like, really?
I mean, daggers. And
good
I was just
Lord.
Like,
yeah.
Fuck, man.
Gorgeous. Mm-hmm.
Not fair.
No.
What turned you off?
Oh, bullies and assholes.
Yes. What is your favorite curse word?
Fuck.
Like, do you hit the F hard or more of the CK finish through?
Fuck!
Yeah.
Yeah. That's both.
What sound or noise do you love?
What sound of noise do I love?
Sound or noise do you love?
My children sleeping.
Whoa, sweet answer. Because it's quiet or they have adorable snores?
It's quiet. I don't want to hear anybody snoring.
Oh, man, that's a deal breaker.
Whew.
Snoring?
Can't do it.
Fuck.
Mm-mm.
I know people that have separate rooms because of that.
Yeah, I can't do that. I can't have sex with that.
You can't have someone who snores during sex?
No, I can't. It's like...
I think most people would say that.
During sex, yeah. But I mean, I have been with somebody before who snored at night, and I'm like, I can't.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Turn off.
Yeah.
What sound or noise do you hate?
Snoring.
Yeah, perfect. Led right into that.
Yeah.
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Oh, trapeze artist.
Whoa, cool answer.
Yeah.
Back to your circus roots.
Yeah. I mean, bearded lady, I've already done that. So.
Wait, but so heights don't scare you?
No, heights don't scare me. And really, I would just be an interior decorator.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck walking the tightrope.
What profession would you not like to do?
Walking the tightrope.
And if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Fucking bout time.
Oh, great answer. Jamie Presley, I adore you. This is very cool.
Feelings mutual. I appreciate you
making time. And you were such a gangster on set and so cool and like made me, you know, like same thing, like look up to like just a killer. And it was like, I was immediately like, oh man, I'm going to feel like I can do what I got to do here because you
were
so welcoming.
There's no reason to intimidate people you're going to work with. You want everybody to feel like they're good at what they do and give positive reinforcement because
Hell yeah.
People don't work well under fear.
Yeah.
You don't lead with fear.
Yeah, and I'm trying to crush it so I can come back for more eps.
I'm pretty
Let's
sure.
Fucking figure
you know
that
you'll
out.
You know you'll come back.
Who knows?
We'll come back for third season and you will come back.
Those shorts. I don't want to.
You got to wear the shorts again.
Wait, so you're saying you said you saw you saw the episode?
I saw
out.
A bunch of it.
Some ADR scenes.
Some ADR scenes.
Okay, good.
And it is so funny.
Oh, good.
It's so good.
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to love it.
When he was like jabbing at me too at the bar, like so funny. Like just that dynamic of like older douchey.
See,
and then,
I didn't get to see that. And I didn't get to see the whole moment where you come up on the stage and I see you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-mm. We're giving this away.
Yeah, okay. Tune in, Fletch, Thursday nights on Fox. You're on the gram.
Next day on Hulu.
Next day on Hulu. You're on the gram at Jamie Presley.
Uh-huh.
And just
look, you don't have a guest, have me come back. It means I get to escape from children for a little while.
I got to come out to North Carolina and do one.
Yeah.
Maybe like in the backyard with some Southern bourbon and some, you know.
That would be awesome because we can either do it. You know what? We should do it at the house in Atlanta Beach.
1,000%.
100%. It would be amazing.
Done.
You said 1,000. I said 100. I'm like, no, I'm just kidding. I didn't mean that.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Hey, I'm Dan Adude, host of the Green Eggs and Dan podcast. On this podcast, I'm joined by some of my most entertaining friends, where we talk about food, life, and more. Green Eggs and Dan is the type of food podcast that you'd make with your friends around the table, having a good time and eating some great food. If your friends were famous people like Padma Lakshmi, Phil Rosenthal, Jesse Tyler Ferguson, and Henry Winkler, listen to Green Eggs and Dan on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.